Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. Okay, we are learning Siman Shin Mem Hei. We are halfway through Sif Yud. It's second line down on the page, Kuf Tzadik Ches, and we're defining various Rishuyos. Second line tells us the following. What happens if you've got something on a public domain, on Rosh Hashanah, which is precisely 9 Tefachim high? The rabbi mekatfim alav, but it's not just 9 tefachim high, it's actually something which is used, literally means, the rabbi, many people, mekatfim alav, they adjust their load on it. So remember in those days, people, if they had to schlep loads, they would carry it on their shoulders, and then every now and then, they needed to adjust their load, it would be quite heavy, so they'd have, it would be kind of pillars, or various supports which were on the street, and people would walk past, and when it would be one of those, yeah, pillars kind of supports, so they would just put their loads on it, and then adjust the load on their shoulders, and then move on to the next one. Perhaps would complain as they were at it, how heavy it is. That's the way I imagine it. Complain. So that would be, so now, those pillars, shall we call them, where people would adjust their loads on it, we have now an important point, the Shulchan Aruch. This is something which is 9 tefachim high, and therefore, perhaps would argue that it is a kamelis. It's 9 tefachim high, it's more than 3 tefachim high, perhaps would argue it's perhaps a kamelis. Perhaps would argue that it's a makom tor. I don't know what would argue. Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here that if it's 9 tefachim high, but it is a rabbi mekatfim alav, something which people use for adjusting the load, have rishus rabbim, it's considered part of the rishus rabbim. Hafilu enu rochav abo, even if it's less than 4 tefachim high. So normally something is less than 4 tefachim, and it's a bit higher than 3 tefachim, we normally say that it's a makom ptur. Here we're learning it's not a makom ptur, but it's actually Rishus Rabim. Why is this pillar Rishus Rabim? Why? That's right. The whole definition of Rishus Rabim is something which is used by the public. This is helping people to go through the street. It's something which is there for the public. Since it's something which is for the public, it's ain't going to be a makom ptur. It's going to be part of the Rishus Rabim. It's part of the Rishus Rabim. Very much is by definition, it's part of the Rishus Rabim because Rabim mekatfim alav. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. V'yesh mishoima. Second opinion is which we don't pass in that opinion. Do adin legavoya mitish shavada. So the Rabim mekatfim. Similarly, if it's 9 to if it's up to 10 tefachim, same halacha will apply. Havosh Rabim afilu ainu rochav abo, less than 4 tefachim. Less than 4 tefachim, but it's 9 to 10 tefachim high. Same halacha will apply that it is not considered a makom ptur, but it is a part of Rishus Rabim. Umasov lemal, if it's more than 10 tefachim high, himu rochav abav Rishus Yochid. If it's something which is 4 tefachim wide, 10 tefachim high, it's Rishus Yochid. Ve'im lav makom ptur, if it's less than that, it's makom ptur, v'li yesh makom k'di loch l'ashnim l'abo. So, if something is more than 4 tefachim wide, 4 and 4 tefachim wide, 10 tefachim high, it's then going to become Rishus Rabim. So I wonder about the post box. I wonder, what do you tine?
It's a public thing. It's the use of the public.
Oh, interesting point. It's used for... Okay, gentlemen, we discussed the aloha of a post box. You are saying that, hold on a sec, this can't be anything but the Rishus Rabim because it's part of the public domain. So the answer is no. And the reason is because when we speak about something being used for the public, it's for them using it in a walking way. Practical way and by walking on it. That's why this pillar is for adjusting the load as they are walking in the Rishus Rabim. That's why this pillar becomes part of the Rishus Rabim. However, a post box is only that it's serving the public, but not in a way, not in terms of walking. It's serving the public in a more conceptual way. It's not serving the public specifically for walking, and therefore it's not going to be part of Rishus Rabim. It would be possible that it's actually Rishus Yochid. Kum and see if you'd Aleph. First opinion. Yes.
Yeah. Now the Shulchan Aruch continues. Guma b'shus rabim may pit a hole in the shus rabim. Himenu amukas shloish shloish ava shushus rabim. You've got a pit which is less than 3 tefachim low. Less than, it's just like a kind of lower step, kind of less than 3 tefachim. Then it becomes part of shus rabim. Why? Yes, first of all, it doesn't disturb the walking. True, probably doesn't bother many people. True, but more importantly than that, we learned when it goes to upwards as well. Anything which is within 3 tefachim, it's part of the shusarabim. 3 tefachim is considered in all these in all halachas. Anything which is within 3 tefachim is considered karka. It's considered like the ground. Anything which is it's part of the, you know, you can't be so pedantic. Anything with 3 tefachim is part of the shusarabim. So similarly, also when it goes down, if it's within 3 tefachim, it's part of shusarabim. Next time, shalosh v'asar, if it's 3 to 10 tefachim down, him rechava ba have a kamelis. If it is 4 on 4, then it becomes a kamelis. So it's again, if it's more than 3 tefachim low down, and it's 4 on 4 tefachim, it becomes a kamelis. Vim lav, and if it's less than 4 on 4, have makom tov, it becomes a makom tov. Vim yamuka asara, if it's lower than 10 tefachim down, have ushtachit, it becomes ushtachit. And that's if it is 4 on 4 tefachim, 4 on 4 tefachim wide. And see if you base, which is final, see if Rosh Rabim ain't tefeses elu ad asara. Rosh Rabim is not considered, Rosh Rabim only goes up to 10 tefachim. But more than 10 tefachim, but more than 10 tefachim, it becomes a makom tov. So if you go higher than 10 tefachim off the ground, it's actually considered within higher than 10 tefachim, it becomes a makom tov. Airspace is makom tov. Airspace is makom tov. Which means that if you're on a plane on Shabbos, not a good idea. But if a person really, what he's doing is, the problem really halachically is, what you're really doing is you're going through airspace, which is makom tov. So if you take off, you're in. You're of course in the plane, which is Rosh Yochid, but if the airport is Rosh Rabim, and you're going through the Mokum Ptur, and then you're landing in a different Rosh Rabim, and that is probably halachically the way you're looking at things. It makes enough kamina. Yeah. Oh, I see. So you're saying, good question. How would you look at it? No. Because it's connected to the ground. Pardon? Yeah, I agree. You probably would be looked as Mokum too. Yeah, probably Mokum too all the time. The Nafkamina is where the poskim really do discuss this. If somebody Chalil is delayed, he was meant to land on Shabbos, he was meant to land on Friday, and he gets delayed, he lands on Shabbos. So the question is, in terms of Tchumim, and what, how, now they landed on Shabbos, what is he allowed to do? So if, so it depends the way the plane lands, but part of the discussion is that airspace over 10 tefachim is Mokum Ptur. So it's actually not considered an area which is considered carrying at all. So that's part of the discussion, but yeah. I also want to mention that, I'm struggling to find something which is a genuine Mokum Ptur in our streets. I'm struggling to find. I think in the olden days when people used to still pay coins for the for parking. Do you remember those days? Yeah, do you remember that? Yeah. So, pardon. So that would be a very typical Mokum Ptur. An actual dustbin. And one second, a dustbin, is that Mokum Ptur? Would everybody agree to that? Is a dustbin a Mokum Ptur?
No, it's for the public. A public bin or a public...
No, it's not for the public. Public, when we're talking about it, is Rav Mekat from Alav. It's simply for helping you to walk. Dustbin doesn't help you to walk. Is a dustbin a Mokum Ptur? Hey, is it Hey Tfach? Is it Yud Tfachim? How? Street dustbins or wheelie bins? What are you talking about? Street dustbins. Interesting, very interesting point. Because if there will be Makom Ptur, it's great news. I wonder. No, because then if a person finds it's a. Yeah.
What about those, you know, those electric generator areas that where there's the whole sort of, instead of having a house, there's like an electric kind of, it's gated usually.
Oh, yes.
But let's say there's an open
yeah.
One. It wouldn't be very health and safety friendly, but there's an open one, it's owned by
yeah. The yeah. Sort of whatever. Yeah, would it perhaps would be a, would, that would be a Makom Ptur? No, it probably the gate around it will make into a shochet actually, but if there wouldn't be any gates around it, then it would probably be considered a Makom Ptur. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, it's very good to be able to identify a Makom Ptur just in case you end up once finding something in your pocket, because that's what you meant to do. You meant to put something in a Makom Ptur. Okay. Simon Shin Lamed Vav. We are up to page 362 on the top. I didn't complete the Ramah yesterday, and I want to just do that before we move on. And I'll move on, and perhaps we'll even be able to complete the Simon today. Perhaps, we'll see. So the top of the page tells us Yichush El Ilan. Yichush El Ilan is a branch of a tree. Shenifshach Merav Shabbos. What Nifshach means that it's died. It may not be completely broken off, but you've got a branch of a tree which is not alive anymore. Merav Shabbos, mina ilon, huvoi peros, and there is fruit attached onto this branch which is not alive anymore. Mutalit lo yishar peros menu b'Shabbos. You have to disconnect and detach the fruit from this branch. Why? You've got a branch. You have to disconnect a fruit from the branch. Why? Pardon? It may be, but it's not alive. This branch is not alive. So it's interesting because the Bialocha tells us that afal gav shadain mechubuhu beklipasoi mikol mokim yeshli that. Yeah, it may still be connected, but the point is, you've got a branch which is not alive anymore. So to disconnect the fruit from it, the Ramah is telling us, Ilan shenishpach merev Shabbos, mina ilan uvoi peiros, mutli tishar peiros, mina b'Shabbos. You have to disconnect the fruit from it because it's not alive anymore. So it's anyway not alive. The branch is not alive. So no nutrition goes into the fruit anymore anyway. So to disconnect it would be permitted. It's a bit like a long stem. Kind of thing. It's a bit like a long. It's. Yeah. Sif Tes. Sinoi Hamikalech. Okay, this Sif Rabbosai, when we're learning Sif Tes, we need to connect it. We need to think about a blocked sink. This Sif is going to help us to define as to whether you're allowed to unblock a sink on Shabbos, and similarly also if you're allowed to unblock a toilet on Shabbos. Would you think there's any problems with unblocking a sink on Shabbos? No problem to unblock? Plunger?
I'm quite good at it.
You're good at it? Good. Yeah, so let's watch out. Let's see. Can you do it on Shabbos?
Makrepatish?
No, Makrepatish, really? You're not really... Is it Mukta perhaps? Yes. No, I'm talking about the sucking one. Is it Mutta or also on Shabbos? See if Tess is going to help us. Tzinoir ha-mekalach mayim min ha-gag. You've got a gutter which is leaking water from the roof. Min ha-gag from the roof. Sholoi b'kashim v'asovim, and there is on that. Because it gathered there now, straw and grass, because of the blocked blocked gutter. You've got leaves there, asovim, straw, grass, you name it. Shesois minum akmin kilucha, it's blocking the pipe, it's blocking the gutter. Now, because of the blockage, what does it cause? Meimov yoitzim mispashtim begag v'doifim labais, its water are leaking out, mispashtim begag, they are spreading from the ceiling, from the roof, v'doifim labais, and they're leaking into the house. What are you allowed to do? Says Shulchan Aruch, Memachon, you're allowed to step on the grass, you're allowed to step on it, Biraglov, Betzino, you're allowed to privately step on this grass, privately. They came on the Mesakin al yedei Shinuyu. And al yedei Mesakin al yedei Shinuyu. She'eino oisib elo beraglov. You're allowed to do so because it's tikkun, but it is. You're allowed to do it with Shinuy. Normally do it with your hands. Here you're allowed to do it with your shoes, with your feet. You're allowed to step on it, which is not the regular way of unblocking. Normally you use your hands for it. Yeah, but you're allowed to do it with your feet. Because it's betzin, it's private. B, it's shinu, it's a slightly regular way. Since there's a financial loss involved. What's the financial loss? It leaks. Leaking is leaking into the house. It's financial loss. So because of that, lo yigozu b'abonon, it's mutter. The tzinah is that. So the tzinah is because you'd have normally you wouldn't be allowed to step on it. There is over here an element of unblocking, which midrabbon would be also. Chachamim said that A, if you're doing it b'tzinah, B, you're doing it b'shinui. Chachamim amate it, and also the financial loss involved. Pardon? What? I don't know. I technically don't understand exactly. Memachon means to step. Look at Shulchan Aruch in Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Mem Ches. Sifkot Mem Zayin. Memachon, Mishnah Berurah says, Perish Doyerson Mashpilon Beraglov. You're stepping on it and you're Mashpilon. You make them sink. Beraglov with your feet. Because Meiri Beperek Chovis, to actually push them onto the side, that's also, anyway, so stepping down, some reason is meant to help. I don't technically understand it so well, but for some reason, stepping down helps. Now, this is helping us with regards to paskening the blocked sink. Okay, you got a kitchen sink, got blocked. Mutter also. Mutter also.
What's the rabbi? It's okay.
You hope it's okay. Okay.
Is it based on
So it is interesting that you're asking what is the reason. It is not clear in the poskim why there is an issa. It seems to be, some poskim seems to be said that it's an element over to the choil. Others say that it's an other drabonon which is likely to bring you to other melochas. But perhaps over to the choil is the most simple understanding. Sorry about this. Sorry to break the news. Rav Eliashiv says that as a principle it is comparable, unblocking the kitchen sink is comparable to this halach over here. And therefore, by using the plunger, what you're actually doing is the same than this memachon beraglov. You're only allowed to do it with the same conditions than in the Shulchan Aruch. What are the conditions? Tzino. Private, that's okay. Second condition was shinui, needs to be regular. And thirdly, financial loss. If those three conditions apply, you may, otherwise not. That's what Rabbi Yashiv says. The private aspect, that's quite easy. Financial loss, you don't have financial loss generally.
A leak causes
a financial loss, as opposed to a blocked kitchen, sink. Unlikely. Therefore, to use a plunger, it would be perhaps also according to Rabbi Yashiv. Yeah. Oh, very interesting. So, Shlomo Zalman says that if it's the kind of thing that happens if it happens every Monday and Thursday, if it happens the whole time, so there is no element of tikkun in it, and then it's probably so regular that the issa doesn't apply. Masak, I don't understand that so, but Shlomo Zalman probably goes more with the tikkun element of it rather than over to the chol. But according to Shlomo Zalman, if it's very regular, very frequent, it's mutter. Same applies with regards to a blocked toilet. Same halach will probably apply there. A plunger is also, according to Rav Eliashiv, unless these three conditions are there. Private, that's normally there. Financial loss, less so. And a shinui. So a shinui is as follows. Without a shinui, some poskim hold
that if you normally, and it's hard for me to even quote it, but some poskim hold that, you'll sometimes hear poskim saying that if you hold the plumber with two hands, the plunger, if you hold the plunger with two hands, then it's mutter, because normally you only use one hand. And if you use both hands, then it's a significant enough shinui that it's mutter to. I find it hard to understand that. Pardon? Yeah. It's hard to understand this, because surely that's not enough of a shinui, according to the regular. But, I mean, what would be a shinui for? What would be a shinui? You do it.
Use your two feet.
If you manage with both feet, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that you'll be invited. To, yeah, and it won't be private then, because you're going to get quite a gathering.
Yeah. Anything, you will pay to watch it.
Yeah. So Rabbi said, halacha lemaisa, you can either go with Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, who says that if it's frequent, then there's a heter. Otherwise, if you go with Rabbi Yashiv's approach, then you have to keep in mind that the three conditions need to be. Pardon? Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, it appears that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman holds that the whole issa over here is tikkun related. Tikkun related. Not so much uvdat d'chol, but tikkun related. It's a derabbanon of, which has to do with tikkun. And therefore, we know at the principle that if something is very frequent, it's not considered a tikkun. Tikkun is breaking, is something which is broken, and you're fixing it. Fixing it broken. If something is regular, you know, it's not considered a substantial tikkun. We move on. Seif Yud, Hadas Mechuba, if you've got a Hadas, a nice smelling Hadas, which is Mechuba, which is still connected, still growing, a nice Hadas which is growing on its, from, is flourishing and smells very nice. Hadas Mechuba Muta Learechbo, if you've got Hadas, you walk on Shabbos and you see this beautiful Hadasim growing and you want to smell it, you're allowed to smell Hadas, a connected Hadas, a still growing Hadas, you're allowed to smell it. It smells very nice, Hadasim, no? Hadassim smell really nice. Sfadim often take them for are they a lot of Sfadim? No, they're for psalm. They don't? No, but Sfadim Shminogim, no, I don't know. Yeah, it's beautiful. Hadass Mechuba Mutter L'Ariach Boy, Havol Esrik V'Tapuach V'Kol Devo Roy L'Achila, but anything which is, but if it, you've got a Esrik, or a Tapuach, an apple, the cold of oil, anything which simply you're going to end up, you're likely to, it's edible. You're not allowed to smell when it's still connected. Why? Shema yokutz oisel ochos, all you feel the appetite is growing and growing, and you really feel like, ah, that's a shmak apple, it smells so nice. You're going to end up picking it and eating it. So therefore, anything which is edible, you may not smell on Shabbos whilst it's still connected. Obviously, if it's disconnected, it won't apply. Yeah. The Mishabura says in Sifkot Memtas that one has to be careful that if you walk in, he said that there seems to have been a minig in those days. Said you have to be more, we have to protest against Yidden who walk in gardens and in parks on Shabbos v'yomtev for koich from peres min amechuba, and they would pick the fruit while they were still growing connected fruit v'olchem and eat them. Said that this is an issa, is a very great issa, and it's surprising. Mishnebu is. Is moichad, it seems to have been common, still in common in those days to just walk in gardens and pick the fruit and eat them. See if you'd aleph, asherir, chitim, v'soirim, v'chotzebohem, p'maim. If you are soaking seeds and barley in water, it's a tolda zoriah, it's a tolda of zoriah, of planting, v'chai, v'chol shun yechayv. You take wheat, you take barley, and you're putting them in water, soaking them, Chayev deraisa, because it's a told of zireya. Umotel hamid anfeilonos b'mayim, but you are allowed to take anfeilonos, a fruit, not fruit, flowers. You have to take flowers b'mayim and put them in water b'shabbos. Ubelvad shlo yibohem prochim v'shoshanim, as long as they are not roses, they're not prochim v'shoshanim, shem miftochim minachluchis b'mayim, which will open up from the moisture of the water. So you are allowed to take Ilonois, anfilonois, branch of trees. So you have to take branch of trees and put them in water on Shabbos, as long as it's not like roses and other similar flowers, which will actually open up on Shabbos. And finally, for tonight, if you'd base te'enim figs, shiyofshu be'ivan, if you've got figs which have gone dry on the trees, v'chen ilon shiyofshu peroisav bo'en, any fruit, not just figs, but any trees which has fruit which dried, are completely dry, although they are dry, they're dried out, nevertheless, by picking them, you're chayv. Afal pishem kakurim leinim tumah, although with regards to halachas of tumah, they are considered really disconnected. But nevertheless, in terms of Shabbos, melachas Shabbos, although they are dried, nevertheless, by picking them, you're chayv deraisa. Rabbi said, we learned this evening a gutter which is blocked. You're allowed to be mameach, allowed to walk and step on these on the straw and the grass. In order to unblock it from the leak which is taking place on the roof. We learned this is only mutter if it's done by Shinui and B'mokum Seda, and Shinui B'mokum Seda and in private. We learned Adas M'chob you're allowed to smell, but peris which you're likely to eat, which are edible, I should say, you're not allowed to smell because you might pick. And then we learned that to soak barley and wheat, that's also because it's told the Zeria. Good evening and good Shabbos, Rabbi Yisrael.